What's up, War Stories fans? I want to talk to you about Ocker Leather Duty Gear for a minute. When performance is your number one priority, we all know choosing the right gear for the job is crucial to your mission success. I used Ocker Leather Duty Gear almost exclusively. If they made it, that's what I used. Ocker Leather Duty Gear gives you the confidence to perform at the highest level in the field, day in and day out. With over 40 years of experience crafting high-quality products for the law enforcement community, Ocker Leather specializes in making holsters, belts, and all the other accessories, and they stand the test of time. Let me tell you, I still have all my Ocker Duty gear, and it is well worn in, but still as nice as the day I got it. Major municipal and federal agencies from LAPD and Border Patrol trust Ocker to outfit their officers with duty gear that wears in and not out. And it's made in America since 1981, so that is awesome. Ocker is renowned for being the best name in leather, so visit OckerLeather.com and use the coupon code WARSTORIES for 10% off your order. That's Adam, King, Edward, Robert, Lincoln, Edward, Adam, Tom, Henry, Edward, Robert.com and use coupon code WARSTORIES for 10% off your order.
Warning, this podcast has stories of real-life events and true crime that happens every day. These stories may contain adult language and graphic or disturbing details not suitable for everyone. Listener discretion is advised. In our society, most people are content to go through their daily lives safely and peacefully. But our society is not always safe or peaceful. For that reason, some men and women answer a higher calling to defend and protect their fellow man. You probably know someone who is one of these people, or maybe you are one of these people. The ones who see and do the things most people would never want to. These things are sometimes heroic and beautiful, but often they are horrific and terrifying. It's these things they don't share about with other people. It's these things they carry with them, so you don't have to. But when they get together, they talk to each other about them. And they call these stories war stories.
Welcome to another episode of War Stories. I'm Tom.
And I'm Chuck.
And holy shit, we only missed one episode. I was hoping we wouldn't miss a single episode. We dropped an episode of Locker Room Podcast. And long story short, to our wonderful listeners, I showed up with my moving truck ready to move in, and the appraiser didn't turn in their report on time. So my escrow got delayed by like 24 hours. So I spent two nights back in my brother-in-law's basement with my entire family and a moving truck with all of my worldly possessions parked on the street.
That's rough. That sucks.
Yeah, it sucked, but we're in, and that's what prevented us from doing the Locker Room Podcast. I literally had nowhere to set up and do the podcast. I had like 11 people in one house at one point.
Jesus, that's your brother-in-law's, right?
Oh yeah, my brother-in-law's a champ, dude. Shout out to my brother-in-law,
man.
And four of those people were under 10.
That's got to be rough. Be lucky.
And two of those people were over 65, so they're almost like under 10.
Oh man. That's rough.
They shit themselves in wine just the same.
it's like the older you get, the more you regress back to when you were first
born. Yeah. You shrink instead of grow, you know.
And it's funny thing, babies look like just little drunk humans walking around, but like really small.
Yeah, right. Babies are the best when you can get, like, I'm looking forward to grandchildren because I can give them back. Right. I can do all the fun stuff. And when they act in like little assholes, I'll be like, you take this thing back and bring it back to me when you've taught it some respect. Anyway, so that's
right.
That's, I mean, yeah. Fuck.
Kids, yeah, they're great, but fuck.
Dude. Yeah. But well, and then got a double whammy, and you know this, Chuck, and you know, I've talked about my 95-pound German Shepherd before on the podcast, but he just didn't make, he was 10 and he didn't make the trip real well. And so we just watched him once he got here, and, you know, we were worried about the trip, 2-day drive being rough on him, but then 2-day drive plus 2 days at my brother-in-law's, we got him into the house. And so yesterday we had to put him down, but you know, I'm happy. I'm not seeing him in pain. He was, even the vet was like, oh yeah, he's got the heart of a 2-year-old and the body of an 80-year-old. And, you know,
but it's time, you know. And I was like, yeah, he had no quality of life. So we took him in, but I'm here with you guys. And Chuck and I decided we were going to do some catching up on short stories. And we were also going to kind of talk about some things we have coming up, right?
Yes, correct.
So now we'll get to the short stories, but we had something kind of cool that we've got percolating that I'm excited about.
We do. I had to go tell my dad because he's an older guy. You know, he's well into his 60s. Right. He's not yet shitting himself yet, but he whines just the same. Right. But I got really excited, and I've been telling some family about the opportunity that we're getting ready to have, and it's pretty cool. Little nerve wracking, not gonna lie, especially when you're a fan of someone.
Yeah, yeah.
But I gotta hold my fanboyness back.
Well, you don't hold back on the news. You gotta tell him you're teasing it too hard.
Oh, am I teasing it too hard?
Yeah,
I can tease it harder. No, so some of you, do you want me to say?
Yeah.
So most of you probably have watched Criminal Minds. And like me, so you'll know who he is.
And no, it's not the police academy sergeant from Criminal Minds.
No. And it's actually, if you're going to look up his name, he's on the DVD.
Wait, let's give some clues. Let's give some clues here. Let's see. Okay. So here's the thing. I was trying to decide what he's most famous for, and most recently it's probably Criminal Minds. But the stuff that I know him from is much more obscure, and when I finally do get to talk to him, I hope I get to actually like reference some of the more obscure things I know him from. But there was a movie called Searching for Bobby Fischer. Yeah. He was in. There was a movie called Airheads, which is hilariously funny, he was in. There was a movie with Billy Crystal called Forget Paris that he was in. Let's see. There was Up Close and Personal with, he was in. He's in all these movies, and you're going, who is this person that's been in all of these movies and is in Criminal Minds? Well, who is it, Chuck?
It's going to be, Joe Mantegna.
Yeah. So now I, know Joe Mantegna from Art Shirk, the carpenter in The Money Pit. When he comes out and tries to hook up with Tom Hanks's wife because he thinks she wants the old hammer and nail. I don't know. I'm going to have to ask his producer if that's okay for me to reference that my favorite Joe Mantegna movie is The Money Pit. Or maybe I can say my favorite Joe Mantegna movie is Baby's Day Out. Because those are both two really obscure Joe Mantegna movies.
And when I was talking to Rachel's stepdad, because he was in the producing world and he worked for the studios a lot. So I was like, he's going to know who this is. So I talked to him. I told him, I was like, he's like, oh, I know exactly who that is. And he goes, I was like, he was in, you know, Criminal Minds for forever. And I think he was in like 200 plus, almost 300 episodes of Criminal Minds. I think it's like 270 and 290, something like that. And I read his bio prior. I didn't memorize it, but I read it. And he remembers him from some plays that he did with this one, I guess, director, and then that turned into some movies and stuff like that. And he worked very closely with this one director. And that's where he knew him from. But he's an older gentleman.
But what's really cool is we're going to have him on because apparently Joe Mantegna is also a big advocate for veterans charities and veterans affairs, and he supports the military, and he works heavily with Gary Sinise. Joe Mantegna actually recruited Gary Sinise to host the National Memorial Day concert. So there's like Joe Mantegna is all about basically doing things for the veterans and doing things for the men and women who have sacrificed everything or served their country. So he's going to come on and he wants to talk to us about what he's got going for this Memorial Day, which is really cool.
A little deep dive into his Instagram. He's also a big time law enforcement supporter, especially out in LA.
Yes.
He's done award ceremonies. He's done, you know, Medal of Valor ceremonies for a major police department out here in Los Angeles.
Yes. He's also got a really cool show that he produces called Gun Stories.
Yep.
And they talk about like the history of firearms and how they were used and just like they profile different guns throughout the ages. It's really cool. And then I think he actually is a producer on the show Hollywood Weapons, which
that is
the show. Yeah, it's the show that we've had Larry and Terry on from. So I'm excited. I thought it was cool.
I think so too. I mean, you said his name, you're like, do you know who this is? And I was like, yeah, duh.
Well,
like, that's so and so from Criminal Minds.
There's some people though that when you say the name, they go, I don't know who that is, and you have to show them a picture, and they're like, oh, he's that guy, right? You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, my exactly. Dad did the same thing. He was like, not really. And I was like, I showed him a picture, and I was like, do you know who these two guys? It was Gary Sinise and Joe Montana. Last year's.
And he's like, well, that's Lieutenant Dan.
That's Lieutenant. Yeah, that's right. From Forrest Gump. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I still remember Gary Sinise as the bad guy in Ransom with Mel Gibson. You see that one where you should see it if you haven't seen it. It's pretty good.
Maybe back in a while ago, but nothing recent. I don't remember it.
Yeah. So that's kind of what we've got going on. We're in the middle of updating our website, right?
Mm hmm.
So it's, a few changes it, I gotta, are gonna happen. Yeah, well, first of all, John is you know, Chuck's the co-host, so we gotta move John to the section of contributors and do a whole section on Chuck so people can get to know you.
Right. My bio, I sent the bio to you already, and so that's good to go. Sorry, we work a little slow for the followers and the viewers. We work a little slow because we have full-time jobs.
And full-time families.
full-time families. And you could probably hear in the background, that was my
full-time baby.
Who's been just amazing today. It's been a great. No. Anyways, so we're taking a little bit of time, but we're going to be making it a number one priority. We just had to get our ducks in a row and everything's going to start coming together. Website will be changing a little bit with some merchandise, cleaning it up. And then we have some cool things coming at you here soon, and some more things that you can put onto your body and wear, like some shirts for all you guys out there.
Some new shirts.
That'll be cool. And then on the Instagram, I'm just going to do a quick little synopsis of everything. There'll be more in detail once we get everything loaded. But on the Instagram, we're going to be doing an easier way to click into the bio in businesses or whatever, so that you can, if you're an Apple, Android, whatever, you can go and choose the podcast straight from there and go straight to it. If you've never heard it before or whatever, and be able to go and access it from there and the website, just all in one big, easy thing. It'll be pretty user-friendly. And then we're going to be throwing up some videos on YouTube. And getting into that realm.
This episode will be on YouTube at some point because it's just you and I, and we don't have to protect anybody's identity. So
exactly. Yeah.
We're going to be doing some more gear reviews. So we've got some people lining up to get us some gear. So Chuck and I will be actually like going and I thought one of the things we could do, Chuck, is, you know, sometimes I'll send it to you, sometimes they'll send it to me. So whoever gets it will do the review, and the other person will log in and we'll just sit there and like talk about the good and the bad as like a little short episode that we can put on YouTube of what I like and don't like, first impressions. And then, you know, obviously do a follow-up later of, oh yeah, it worked out pretty good. But we're like holsters and backpacks and gear and boots,
knives
and all kinds of cool stuff like that.
Flashlights probably. We want some good, I mean, I do, and I'm sure you feel the same. Some good everyday carry stuff that we approve of, that maybe we've used in our personal careers or we carry every single day.
Which that's what EDC means for those of you who have never heard it. EDC, everyday carry.
Yes.
You know what Sinatra's EDC was?
What's that?
A roll of dimes.
So
when his son got kidnapped. Right. And it might have been less than it was dimes, basically. But when his son got kidnapped, they never could tell if his son was in on it or not, but his son got kidnapped and Sinatra had to constantly call the kidnappers from a payphone. And a payphone cost a dime back then. So he never knew when he was going to have to call kidnappers. So he started carrying, you know, a roll of dimes in his pocket. And then all the way, you know, up until the day he died and the day he was buried with a roll of dimes in his pocket. So there you go. Sinatra EDC.
That's a cool fun fact.
Right?
Yeah.
I love Sinatra.
I know you and I were talking. Yeah, he's, you know, his music's great. You and I were talking, you wanted to do a giveaway of that, of a hat, that multi-cam hat.
Yeah.
So I just figured out and decided that I think it would be a good idea to announce it on this, since it's just you and I shooting the shit.
Yeah.
We're going to do that giveaway and we're going to do it for Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Yes. So here's the kicker for you guys out there. It's not just a hat. I'm going to be doing a review on a Gerber multi-tool that I carry personally when I work.
Right, on your duty belt.
On my duty belt. I've used it and I've pried open doors. I've used the knife on it. I've used the scissors for, you know, I've used the Phillips head and the screwdriver on there to be able to take off license plates off cars. It's got a flathead, it's got a Phillips, so you can get to any which screw that you want to take off on license plates, because cops need that in their set of tools. And
hell, firemen need it. The average citizen needs it. I mean, I'd get my daughter to carry a multi-tool in her purse if I could.
Yeah, and it's great, and it's all anodized black. But sleek.
Well, let's face it, you got to get it tactical black. You know,
you have to.
Come on. The only piece of gear that I ever thought looked good, stainless. I have a stainless Beretta. But I also had the stainless Spyderco police model.
Oh, that thing's sexy looking.
That thing's sexy. But other than that, I wanted everything black, black on black on black. I even had hidden snaps on my belt because I didn't want even all, you know, the only thing that was metal on my belt was the buckle, and the snaps were all hidden because I didn't want any metal showing.
Oh, hey, nice. Yeah.
Stealth mode.
See, if I was to do that, I'd have to rebuy everything. I'm too lazy to do that. So that'll be cool. So keep out for that. But the basically the rules for that are you're gonna have to like us, like the locker room, go and give the YouTube a follow and tag three people inside of it in the comments to be entered into to win this multi tool giveaway with the hat.
Hey, you think we can get any of those
war
new
stories like this
decal stickers?
But it's all black multi.
Yeah, right. Like maybe the new decal stickers.
Yeah, I can make one. I think I can make one.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, let's do that. Let's
prototype, that but yeah, for yeah, sure.
We'll give you a prototype of our new window decals for your car or for whatever. I've got one on my laptop, but we can throw one of those in there too. I think it's cool. And go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go.
Oh, so for whoever wins, and we'll go over this again in another short little video on Instagram and YouTube. For whoever wins, you just message me, and it'll be shown in a white vinyl. But if you want a different color, like you want black, you want camo, or you want something like that, you tell me, and then I will custom make it for you.
Wow. That's like service with a smile. It's Burger King. You can have it your way.
You can. So it's because I have the machine at my house to do that stuff. So
right.
I will be able to make it. And I'll probably throw in a couple just in case one messes up. So you'll get a few.
Okay. Right on. Or you could just give them to other people and they can promote the hell out of it too. This is the year, Chuck. We were going to grow it last year and then that stupid COVID hit. And let's grow it even bigger this year. Let's go big.
Well, you're not feeling the COVID out there, but I'm sure as shit feeling it out here.
Oh, I haven't worn a mask since I crossed the state line.
Oh man, lucky duck.
Except Costco. I'm sorry. I went and bought. So again, you know, as if not closing escrow and losing my dog isn't enough. Also my 55 inch LED smart TV got destroyed in the move. Yeah. So
how'd that happen?
It was an accidental packing failure on the part of somebody who thought they were. I said I didn't even want to know who. Like, I just said, I trust it to be packed. And then when I unpacked it, there was something packed in there with it that just destroyed the screen.
You can't pack anything in that box.
But here's the thing. I couldn't have been mad. I couldn't be mad very long because then I realized it gave me a chance to go out and replace it.
With a bigger one.
With an 82 inch.
Wait, that's in your, you have an 82 inch in your bedroom?
No. I put my living room TV in my bedroom and I changed out my living room TV for the 82.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Funny fact, I went to go buy, when I moved into the new house, about a year ago, we bought a new TV and, because we were going to take the, was it 60 inch, 65 inch from our bedroom that we had originally bought for the house to put up in our living room. And I was like, all right, cool. So we're going to use that. And then we'll just get a smaller TV and put it up in the bedroom. Right. So I go to move it. It doesn't fit. Cause we have a wall unit, like a custom made wall unit, fits up to a certain, it's like 62 and a half inches. What the fuck? So I'm like, I go to put it in. I'm like, yeah, it's not going to fit. Shit. So, well, I get to have a 65 inch TV in the bedroom. Makes you feel like you're in a movie theater. And then I went out and bought a new one for the custom fucking, not custom, but it was like really hard to find because it was some obscure like size.
You gotta tear that out. Tear that out.
Oh, it looks so good.
All right.
It does. It looks so good.
Yeah. So I thought we would just go with some short stories today. And I know we've got a ton of little short stories to share. So we'll do lightning round, right? So we could do like a compete where, you know, we pick a topic and then we see who has the worst story, or you can just go and then it'll remind me of something and I'll tag up.
Okay. I'll start.
Okay. You go.
Don't be mad if I brain fart, because oftentimes we forget a lot of these calls we go on because after the years that we've been on. So real quick, when I was, I would say newer on the job, working a mid PM shift. So it was at nighttime. And we got a code 3 call of basically an active shooter, of people down in a residential neighborhood. And so we get there, we have a helicopter overhead, an airship. We cordon off a little small perimeter before we make our approach. We basically get a fire team, a stick ready to go up. So we start making our approach and we have the airship orbiting overhead, have him looking down at the target location. And he's like, I don't see anybody down. I don't see any victims. We're like, well, this is really weird. Cause the caller, I guess, called in a couple of times frantic that there was people down. And so as we start getting closer, inching our way, I think we're about a house and a half away, stacked up on a cinder block wall. All of a sudden we hear the airship say, hey guys, get ready. Someone's coming out of the house. Airship comes overhead then, gives us a description of what he's wearing. So it's a male white, wearing dark colored clothing and an apron. Is it the fucking apron?
An apron?
And he has an object in his hand. We're like, oh shit, get ready, right? So he comes out, he makes his way down his driveway onto his sidewalk, and now he is looking right at us. And we're giving commands like, hey, put your hands up, turn around, walk backwards, you know, try to prone him out, get in a safe, you know, distance and prone him out, handcuff him, find out what he knows, what's going on, if there are people down inside, right? He doesn't listen. The dude's talking to himself. We're like, oh, shit. And as he starts getting closer and there's like streetlights and stuff, it illuminates him. This guy, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen Dexter when he's like chopping up bodies.
Right, right.
And he's wearing that apron covered in blood.
Yeah.
So this guy is wearing a plastic apron, what it appears to be a plastic apron, and he's punching himself in his chest like this. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm like lead guy on the stick. And he gets probably, I don't know, 25, 30 feet away from us and we can see him. He has one of those Subway knives. It's about this big that they use to cut open your
white-handled bread knife.
He's stabbing himself repeatedly. And he's stabbing himself hard. Like, you can hear his palm or his fist punching his chest. And the blade's probably about 3.5 inches long. And he's just going to town on his chest, just poking holes all up in him.
Full penetration.
Full penetration. Or
is he burying the hilt?
I mean, the hilt is in his hand. Like
he's getting 3 inches worth of. Yeah. Oh.
He's going 3 inches deep.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we're like, hey, put it down, put the knife down, put the knife down. Ends up, long story short, puts the knife down. And one of my supervisors is like, hey, handcuff him. I'm like, hold on, let me put gloves on. This dude's covered in blood. Yeah. And as he's breathing, you can see bubbles coming out of the wounds. I'm like,
which is never a good sign.
Shit, that ain't good. This dude had probably stabbed himself over 15 times. I don't know the exact count, but he stabbed the shit out of himself. You know, we handcuff him up once we put gloves on because we don't want, you know, any type of transmitted disease, bloodborne pathogen, right? Because we get cuts on our hands all the time. So we handcuff him up and render that scene there safe, put him in the back of an ambulance real quick, send officers with him to the hospital to see what he knows. And the dude's just rambling on. He's a 5150. And for those who don't know or don't remember, that's crazy. Like, they're certifiably insane.
As we said, it's not just a Van Halen album. It literally means I can have you committed basically for 3 days.
Yeah.
I can take and you to then, a doctor against your will and have him commit you for 3 days.
Exactly. And then he walks into his, then we send a stick into the house, clear the house. No one's down inside. Ended up just being a crazy guy, hallucinating, thinking that, you know, people were killed inside of his house. People were shot dead. Mm-hmm. And the whole time he's just hallucinating, stabbing the shit out of himself in an apron.
Did you ever find out what he was on?
No. Wow. I wasn't the primary guy on the call. So I was like, whatever. On to the next one.
Fuck it. Right.
Oh, scene safe. We're good. Let's get out of here. Yeah. I have no idea what the dude was on. Just crazy.
Speaking of crazy. So my partner and I, and he's been on the show. He's now in the Air Force or Space Force. My partner and I were dispatched to attempt suicide or to a suicide, basically. But it was suicide, attempt suicide, male subject, not responding, CPR in progress. Right. And so we, code 3, book it. And we get up to this house kind of up in the hill. So it was like, imagine, you know, like windy roads that, you know, you're just winding through these different houses, each stacked up on one another. And we get in there and they said, in the garage. So we run into the garage and there's the father or the stepfather, I guess he was. And he's, you know, doing like, kind of that I've seen CPR on TV CPR. he's never been trained to do it, but he, you know, definitely has seen it done and he's trying to imitate it, you know. So he's doing this. And the kid he was a kid. He tried to kill himself. He was 15. And he had taken clothesline. You know, like you hang up laundry in the backyard, and he had tied it around the rafter. And then he'd wrapped it around his neck and then just, and so that was all we knew. Cause we saw the clothesline around his neck and the clothesline hanging and it had been cut. Right. So we scoot the dad away. We start doing CPR. He's, you know, doing the agonal breathing and he's posturing, you know, his hands are coming up to his chest, curled up, you know, like he'd been shocked or like a dead cockroach. And the agonal breathing, if you've never heard it, it's sounds like the worst low speed snoring you've ever heard in your life. Right.
Oh, it's terrifying. You're like,
yeah, it's awful.
Horrible.
So, he's agonal breathing. And when you're agonal breathing, I mean that, you know, things are bad, right? That's not a great sign. So, the paramedics scoop him up, get the fire department, throw him on the gurney and book it code 3 to the hospital. And I was looking at one of the medics and she's like, yeah, it's doesn't look good. And so we said, okay, all right, well, you know, go interview the family, find out the last time he was seen, find out when they found him, blah, 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 blah. So apparently, according to the family, the kid had the county fair was going on. And so he had driven, you know, 30 or 20 minutes away to go to the county fair. And he had gotten out of his car and seen we found this out later, seen his girlfriend there at the county fair with another guy. And so he drove home. Only he didn't go into his house. He went into his garage and he didn't say hi to his family. So they had no idea where he was. So sure. He immediately went to the garage to hang himself. And then somebody asked, hey, you know, where's so-and-so? And somebody called, is he there? You know, whatever. So for whatever reason, they started looking for this kid. They walk out into the garage and the stepdad walks out there and sees him hanging from the clothesline, pulls out his pocket knife, cuts the clothesline, and calls, you know, hey, call 911, call 911. And then starts doing his, I've seen the movie CPR. Well, while we're there and we're taking all these statements, I think it was one of the firefighters that was clearing the scene. He goes, hey, what is that red light? And my partner walks over and he looks on the shelf and he sees a little red light glowing. And as he gets closer, it's a fucking video camera.
Jesus.
So he had filmed the whole thing. So we pulled the case number, grabbed the video as evidence, got back to the station, threw the tape in. And this fucking kid, he basically was so determined, right, that he went directly into the garage, strung the clothesline up, right, made the little mini noose for himself, then got the video camera, turned it on, then stood in front of the noose and gave a speech to his girlfriend and was like, you know, I can't believe you do this, da 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 da, blah, 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 blah. And then I'll never forget, he ends this little tirade with, your mom thinks I'm unstable, I'll fucking show you unstable. And then walks from the camera to the noose and throws his head in the noose, tightens it up. And then here was what got me, dude. He didn't have a chair or nothing. He just kneeled down.
Good Lord.
So all this kid had to do at any time during the hanging process was stand up.
Whoa.
And yet he was able to let him had this here, the sheer force of will to stay kneeling down where his knees were, you know, 3 inches off the ground, but he could have just stood up at any time until he passed out. And then once he passed out, done deal, right?
Yeah.
So we see all that on the videotape. Then we see the dad run in a couple minutes later, stepdad run in and go, holy fuck, and pull out his pocket knife and snap the rope with his pocket knife. And he didn't even, you know, he's freaked out. So he just cuts the rope, doesn't even catch the kid. The kid just goes face first onto the concrete garage floor, rolls him over, starts doing his CPR. Then we see ourselves. It was very surreal to see yourself respond to a call that you were just on, you know, 2 hours ago.
Jesus.
So we're watching all this and the kid made it. He lived.
Wow.
No brain damage, nothing. We ran into him 6 months later and he was just super thankful. He was like, yeah, you know, I just lost my mind over this girl and I know it was stupid and I can't believe I almost died, but thanks so much. I appreciate you. So the lesson in that story for me has always been suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem, because this kid thought it was the worst that it was ever going to be and it was never going to be good again and just everything is terrible. But 6 months later, he's just totally gained some perspective and he's like, yeah, that was stupid. I should have never done that.
Right. Yeah. Jesus criminy. That's intense.
Good that was Lord. Surreal. Yeah.
Wow.
That was,
yeah.
I bet. That's pretty surreal.
But that's good that he made it, because most of the calls I've been on and incidences, they don't make it.
Yeah. I think a minute or two later, if they had not like been like, hey, where's so-and-so? Like if it had just been a minute or two, right? Because that kid was posturing, agonal breathing, all that kind of stuff. He would have started to have brain damage for sure. I don't know how he didn't have brain damage, because I saw the amount of time between when he started hanging and he got cut down by the stepdad. And it was several minutes, right? So maybe he wasn't that smart to begin with, and it took a whole lot to get through to them brain cells. But wow. He survived and he didn't have a whole lot of brain damage, I guess. So
that's good.
Yeah.
Jesus. Wow.
Anyway.
That's cool. Well, We had a call, and again, I was working in mid PMs. I worked mid PMs a good portion of my career.
That's my favorite shift.
It is. It's good, except it's not the best for family life. It's okay. It's not the best.
You get to see your kids in the morning if you want, or you get to see them when they get home from school, you know, depending on when you start your mid PMs. But you know, you can get up whenever you want. But the nice thing is you're not staying up all graveyard shift, right?
No,
you're basically coming in about the same time as you get home from a bar.
Yeah, 2-3 in the morning. Yeah. And if you commute, maybe a little bit later. And it was never tough for me. I was like, this shift is pretty good. You know, just when I start getting tired, I'm already getting ready to go home.
Plus, for me, falling asleep when the sun is up is so hard compared to, like, if I can get home, even if I can just get home just before dawn at dusk, you know, and it's still dusk outside, I can pretty quickly fall asleep.
Yeah.
So I just have to get home once the sun's up. Now I'm like, oh shit, I'm awake.
Yeah. Especially when you live out here where it gets hot as soon as the sun comes out.
Oh God. Yeah.
You're like, shit, you know, like it gets really rough, but.
And you're holding, trying to suffocate yourself with a pillow to block the light, but it's also too hot and you can't breathe.
Yeah. And some of us resort to sleeping masks, blackout curtains.
Oh yeah. And blackout curtains make the room hot.
Yeah. I mean, I have to blast that AC.
Blast the AC.
Yep. They're like 65 degrees. Like you're just to keep it cool in that room.
It's almost worth it to go get one of those like R2-D2 room air conditioners. It's just like a little standalone air. So everybody else, you can just have that on in the room where you're sleeping to keep you cool. Yeah. And the rest of the house can be normal.
Yeah. And I find it's not difficult for us. It's difficult for your spouse or for your significant other that wants to go to bed with you at night. And they're like, well, I get to go to bed by myself majority of the night. Well, so basically we're working mid PM shift. Ended up getting a call, and for some reason this is just taking a turn. So these are all just like suicide calls, but attempt suicides and whatever. But
it's because what I said reminded you of yours.
Yeah,
that's how it goes.
So this kid, I don't, young adult, I mean, probably maybe mid 20s, something like that. I guess I don't know what was going through his mind, but he wanted to try to end it, and he was not having a good day. And the call basically came out as his kid's drinking bleach in his front lawn and a lawn chair.
Oh,
I was like, oh shit. Okay. So we're en route to one call. We ended up interrupting our status to go to this call. And so we start getting there and we pass the location. I'm like, I don't see anybody. Like, and it often happens that we get bad location calls all the time. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, we don't see anybody. So we do a loop again, and I'm asking our dispatch, like, hey, like, is there a better location? I don't see this guy. There's no one here. As soon as I put that traffic out, I look to my left as I'm driving now southbound on the street, and I see this kid in a lawn chair. He was just hidden by a tree in a car. And I was just at a better vantage point at this angle, and I see him, and I'm like, oh crap. So we pull over, and, you know, radio into dispatch, but then it's busy at that time, so everyone's stepping all over everybody, like it's hard to get traffic out, and we're already making contact, and this kid immediately gets agitated and jumps up.
And don't you guys, like, your dispatchers serve like three different areas at once, right?
They can. It just depends. I mean, it's, you know, generally two. Some days when it's really busy, just one. I mean, it can get that busy where,
yeah, I'm sure,
you know, we need our own. Yeah. So we see him, we go and talk to this kid, and he immediately jumps up all frantic. We're like, oh shit. And we're at the sidewalk at this point, and he backs himself into a corner. It's never good to have someone who's in fear, angry, or upset backed into a corner.
Nope.
So I look at my partner. I'm like, hey, back off a little bit. Let's just kind of stand this way and try to talk to him. As we're talking to him, dad starts coming up the street, and we're like, hey, hold on. We're going to get an ambulance for this kid. Like, just let us talk to him. Next thing we know, kid gets agitated, beelines it for the street. And again, I already said it was busy, and it's not just for us, but it's for traffic on the street. And this is next to a main road that people use to go home. And he takes off running, full speed sprint. Oh, actually, rewind. As soon as we, his dad comes up and we take one more step closer, he starts guzzling this bleach. And it's like a half gallon of bleach. Like it's fucking Gatorade on a hot summer day.
Oh, dude. Just pounds how do you it. Do I see that?
I don't know. I see it coming out of his mouth. And I'm like, oh my God. And he's like taking gulps. Like you can see it going down. We're like, holy shit. And bleach is a caustic chemical. Like you don't want to get anywhere close to that because you don't want to get blinded in your eyes. You don't want to get it on your skin and have it start like eating away at your skin because it's a base. Like it gets real liquidy and it'll start eating away.
Yeah.
So that's not good to have in your throat because it's a base, like an acid compound. It's not really good because it's going to eat away all the soft tissue mucousy membranes and just make it mushy and start welding that shit together.
Yes.
And so he takes off running once he sees his dad gets agitated, and I'm the one closest to the street. So I start paralleling him and I try to grab him. He's slippery in bleach because bleach goes everywhere. You know, we hit a car, bleach goes all up in the air, all over him, all over the ground. Partner ended up tripping and falling, hurting himself. I ended up trying to keep hold of him with my hands, and he slips out, and I'm like, oh shit. Next thing I see is this SUV with this female driver, and it looked like she was like a soccer mom, had all her kids, you know, the kid carpool, you know, going home from soccer practice or whatever, school practice, because it's, you know, in the evening, but it's not complete. It's dusk. It's right. It's like the sun's going down, and it's like she's taking all of these kids home. And I see a full packed SUV, and it's like slow motion. And I'm like, oh, I got to grab him. He's about to run in front of this vehicle and kill himself, but he's going to create a major vehicle collision and probably kill a lot of people in that car. Possibly kill us in the meantime, or kill another kill another party in another vehicle, because it's packed both ways. And so I grab him and I bear hug the shit out of him in the number two lane, which is the closest. There's only two lanes. It's number two lane, so it's a lane closest to the curb. I grab him and I make eye contact in like slow motion with the driver, and her eyes get just deer in the headlights, but like real big. That she's like, oh shit. Next thing I know, I just leap backwards and try to take him to the ground. But because he's so slippery, he slips out of my grasp and tries to do it again. Mm. And at this point, I didn't have a chance to look at the vehicles. I didn't know how close a vehicle was to me. I grabbed him and I took him down to the ground. Long story short, handcuff him. And my partner, when it was all said and done, after we got the ambulance and got him in the ambulance and sent him off to a major hospital, trauma center. I looked at him and I was like, hey dude, did you see any of that? He goes, yeah. He's like, you almost died. And I was like, really? Right. And he's like, yeah. He's like, that first SUV came really close to hitting you guys. And he's like, that second car had just like swerve out of its way, out of your way, so it didn't kill you. And you were like within inches of getting hit by that car. I was like, no shit. I didn't even see it. I get this kid on the ground and all I can smell is bleach and it's so bad. And, I ended up having to go with my partner where he got treated, and we sent some other officers to
chemical a hospital. Exposure. Yeah.
Well, you know, he busted his knee pretty good.
Oh, the attempt suicide did?
No, my or your partner at the time. Yeah.
No, I know, but you had to go with him just because of his knee?
Yeah. Oh, well, okay, I mean, his partner, so I need to go with him and make sure he gets treated and then bring him back.
Got it.
We had other officers go with the gentleman. And we weren't trying to arrest this dude.
Put it mildly. Listen, we're so programmed to be like the gentleman.
Yeah. I mean, we had to send officers with him and make sure he was okay. He was not under arrest. I mean, we were only trying to get him help and get him to a psychiatric facility so he could get help. And most hospitals have that or have ability to, place them on we place them on a hold, and then they have the ability to have a doctor check them out. And the officers, when they got there and they came back, they placed him on a hold, or at least wrote the application for it. And they came back and they're like, not good. And I was like, what do you mean? Like the doctor, when he opened his mouth, it was basically the mucousy membranes were starting to dissolve in his mouth and it was like sticking to everything. And the doctor, immediately when he opened his mouth, his eyes started watering because of the fumes were so strong. And he was like, I don't think this kid's gonna live like at all. And we're like, well, shit, if he lives, like he needs a psychiatric consult for sure. But get him the help. I mean, he's not under arrest, you know, and We ended up leaving, but told his family where he was at. And I mean, this kid, he was going to kill himself one way or the other. And we knew we needed to get him help, but it made it so hard. And that was just such a shitty situation to be in, to try to get this guy help when he doesn't want it. But you got to make sure that he doesn't hurt other people in the process. You know what I mean?
And that's the thing a lot of people don't understand is it's not just about what you putting your life on the line. It's you're putting your life on the line to stop somebody who is endangering the lives of others.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. It's difficult.
Others. Okay. If this kid wants to kill himself, that's fine. But we're trying to stop that from happening. However, there comes a point where this kid is not just trying to kill himself. He's going to hurt other people in the process.
Yep. And he's going to take them down with him. And it's not, that's not a good thing. And we have to try to mitigate those circumstances. And that's why I was just trying to talk to him. But one thing can set him off, like your father coming up to try to talk to him, and it just sets him off and he takes off running. Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's nothing that we did. It's everything to do with just him not wanting any help. And we just happened to show up because someone called that cared about him. And we ended up getting him, but before he killed anybody, but in the process, he ended up guzzling a bunch of bleach on his own part. And that was, I mean, I've never seen someone do that. I mean, that takes some balls and some willpower to guzzle bleach. Yeah, that was, and my uniform though, crazy thing. I didn't have any bleach spots on it. It was like everything just went around me.
Well, yeah,
I was like, man.
You were lucky. So
yeah, but that brings me to my next point. If any of you guys are out there and you're struggling with something, or you know someone who's struggling with someone, there's a suicide help prevention hotline that you can Google. If you need any type of resources, you can always email DM us here, and we can provide those resources to you. Because and it's, if you're struggling with something, talk to someone, find someone to talk to, find a buddy, find a battle buddy, and for you coppers out there. And firefighters and anyone who's on the front lines, take one day out of the month and call someone, or 2 days out of the month and call someone that you think might be lonely, or you haven't heard from him in a while, or haven't talked to him, maybe someone from your old unit or whatever, and just, you know, spark up a flame that hasn't been lit in a while and just see how they're doing. 'Cause that could mean the world to someone.
Yeah. Well, we beat that drum a lot on this show. So, you know, reach out to us anytime you feel like it. And I wanted to go over some messages real quick as we close. Mike asked us if we ever talk about Chris Dorner. And we have not, but that would be an interesting topic because
it would.
I think people would be surprised by what cops actually think of what happened to Christopher Dorner and how that all went down. I'm not, you know, I don't want to give anything away, but it's a lot more complicated than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, man.
It's a tough one. So we definitely have to, I think we might have to get Elliot in on that one, or God forbid we could get JR back to do that. So that's one of the messages we got, and I'll say that. We've got some fun stuff on the locker room coming up because people have been sending us them. We're like, oh, we definitely going to talk about that. So we also got some feedback from some people that were letting us know they're going into law enforcement. They're getting their college degree. They're going into law enforcement afterwards. So, you know, the ones that are smart will go into the fire service.
Yeah.
The other thing is we've gotten some messages about some of the things that have happened. Like there was a video Chuck posted of a guy getting arrested with a barrel right on the back of his dome piece. And, you know, people were messaging us and basically asking us what we thought about it. And there were some people commenting, and I'll say this, there were some people commenting on the Instagram thread that were like, why would they, I mean, maybe in his back, but why to the back of his head? And I saw someone post on the thread, and I happen to know that this person is a bona fide retired firefighter and arson investigator who I've actually been opposition force during simunitions training for. So this guy, as an arson investigator, was doing tactical training against me as the bad guy. Good dude. And, you know, as we've talked about arson investigators, they're firefighters with a badge and a gun, and they have to go out and do detective work and possibly arrest people. So this gentleman, I was so I could not have been prouder of my firefighting buddies at this moment. He gave the most stunningly succinct, you know, Instagram one sentence explanation that was perfect, which was, hey, if you shoot them in the back of the head, they're dead right away and they can't reach for that gun. But if you shoot them in the back, they still have a chance to get it and kill you. And yeah. That's, you know, when you watch a video like that, that's what you need to think about. It's not just, again, it's not just about, oh, they just want to kill him. No, they're fighting over a gun and they don't know what he's going to do with that gun if he gets it loose. You know, it's not the movies where he's going to get the gun, stand up and then say, okay, I'm going to shoot. Right. And all of a sudden this conversation starts to happen. No, he's going to roll over and start cranking rounds.
Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, those coppers, they're in a fight for their lives. The moment they start wrestling with someone, because there's always a gun in the game and it's your gun.
Yep.
In this case, it's your gun plus his gun and it's in his waistband. And this
yours
video
is in your holster.
Right. This video is 58 seconds long. I think it's 58 seconds long and only shows the tail end. It doesn't show the encounter. It doesn't show possibly him resisting. It doesn't show any of that. It doesn't show that the coppers knew that where the gun was or that they saw a gun. It doesn't show any of that. But what it shows is officers wrestling with a suspect and a crowd forming what appears to be a lynching mob to lynch the suspect from the officer's grasp. And if they were able to do that, that suspect's going to turn around, going to grab that gun and start cranking off rounds. And we've already seen in California ambushes where they've come up and they've shot police officers at point blank range. This shit happens.
And it just happened recently, as a matter of fact.
It did.
And someone both officers very near survived. And dear to me. So
it's crazy.
We'll talk about that some other time.
Oh yeah, that one. Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's just, it's crazy. So all these people are like, well, what about these tactics? I'm like, honestly, bro, like tactics can go out of the window. You can have a set of tactics and you're going to use them. But the moment you start fighting for your life, that's when articulation comes into play and you have to be able to articulate everything. And, and you're in a fight 100%. For your life. So you're not going to be like, hey, sir, please stop. You're going to be like, a fucking stop. And if he tries to go for it, you're going to stop him from going for it. And these cops, they did a really good job. They apprehended him. They had backup. They were able to control him on the ground. And I guarantee you, if he didn't have his gun out, that dude would have been fighting a lot harder. And
hell yeah.
Probably would have got the gun. And
no, a 40 caliber Q-tip gives you a fucking hell of a perspective on life, brother.
Yeah. And then the coppers get there. His backup arrives. They're able to take the suspect into custody without any further incident. And they recover a big ass fucking gun from his waistband. Mm-hmm. Oh shit. Okay. Well, maybe these cops are professionals. They know what the fuck they're doing, you know, and it's just sick. It sickens me that there's people out there that are just like, oh, you know, we're just out here to do evil and to hurt people. No, man, we're out here to stop criminals and, you know, and protect people. That's it. I mean, and if we're brought into a radio call, we see someone carry a gun in their waistband, and you know, maybe we know them, maybe that we know their past, maybe we know they're parolee or whatever. There's a lot of things that we know that you don't know. And it's just, this was a situation where they were fighting for their lives. And hey, if the only way to stop them is to place your gun on them and say, hey, stop, you fucking go for that gun, I'm going to shoot you. Oh, well, then I guess that's it. I mean,
that's too fucking bad for you. You shouldn't have been there in the first place.
No one got shot.
Yep.
Everyone went home alive. Everyone went home safe. I mean, I think their resiliency was really good. I mean, you didn't see them.
And let us put it this way. If they'd have let him fight and they'd have let him get to the gun and they'd have let him start to roll over, they would have had to shoot him.
They would have had to, yeah.
So a little bit of extra violence prevented an actual death.
Yeah, and they prevented an officer-involved shooting and someone dying.
Well, Chuck, anything on that note? You know what? If people have questions for Joe Mantegna, let's see if we can get like the best three or four listener questions. Maybe if you guys want to ask him something about what it's like to be an actor or something about the veterans work or something about Lieutenant Dan or anyway, whatever you want to ask him, send us questions. We'll see if we can ask him if we can ask the best, you know, three or four of them. Mm-hmm. That'll be fun. And then we've been doing these little video teasers of our I guess podcast audio, so those have been working. And this week I'm not sure what day it's going to release, but this week the End of Watch episode will be available for premium subscribers for the first 3 or 4 months, I think, and then eventually to everybody else. But we will include a like 10 minute tease of the episode for everybody.
Yeah. And let me say this real quick. If you ever see any one of us out and about in the public, don't feel shy or anything like that. Just come up to us, say hi, grab, you know,
we're just regular people.
We'll post a selfie with you. We put it on the Instagram, whatever, and say hi, and maybe keep your challenge coin handy. Who knows?
Yeah, definitely keep your challenge coin handy. For those of you who bought them, I hope you read the instructions on our website, because I have yet to have anybody challenge me with a challenge coin. So I'm not going to tell you what happens, but I've yet to have anybody challenge me with a challenge coin. So, well, we have some cool stuff coming up in the future. This has been me and Chuck just having fun with short stories tonight. And I think that's a good place to end it. We're recording this on Mother's Day, and right now we're late for our Mother's Day dinners with our spouses. So unless we want to come home on our shields, we better get to Mother's Day dinner. So until our next episode, come home with your shield or on it.